God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is coming from our gospel reading. Especially one verse in that reading may sound a little perplexing, especially to us as Lutherans. From Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Another way of translating that verse is bear fruit worthy of repentance. I will admit this might be a little perplexing because as Lutherans, we know that Christ dies on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins. It's a done deal. There is forgiveness. We don't do anything to earn that forgiveness. And fair enough, this is true. So what is St. John the Baptist referring to when he talks about bearing fruit in keeping with repentance? Yes, God does indeed give us his grace. We are forgiven. Amen. But when we do sin, are we willing to fess up to that sin? Do we minimize our guilt in order to save face? Or are we ones that would typically be quick to sit there and say, "You're right, I screwed up. I made a mistake." We live in a time of and place where people are not so quick to even fess up that with their sins. Even though knowing that Christ is truly forgiven, we sometimes want to hide the fact that we had anything to do with this wrongdoing. What is there to hide if we are forgiven in Christ? This is kind of what St. John the Baptist is getting at. When the Sadducees and Pharisees come to be baptized, because this verse is spoken in connection with that, they're coming, in one essence, joining the crowd, sort of looking at this baptism, trying to figure out what's going on here. And John has some very hard words for them. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" And the reason why St. John begins this way is because they do not necessarily consider themselves to be, quote, sinners. Sinners in need of God's grace. Advent is a time of preparation. And part of that preparation is to prepare our hearts for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we celebrate his first coming at Christmas and as we look forward to his next coming, whenever that will be, the preparation is still the same. We need to prepare our hearts. And so there's a similar theme in Advent, that of repentance. John the Baptist brings up that theme for us and also for the Pharisees and Sadducees. But with them, there's a great deal of warning. The warning is take a good look at yourself, realize your sin, and your need for a Savior. The Pharisees and Sadducees were unwilling to do that. But do we do any better? How many times in our own lives have we ever come across with a, quote, weak confession? Not that we really want to judge anybody's confession. We really can't judge their heart. But I think we know what we're talking about. A superficial type of repentance. You know, where people would say, "I have a passing regret." Or they might shed a few tears. They might have a moment of a little bit of emotions coming out. Or they come out with a good excuse. Or maybe it's just a wish to be different. Or maybe we're good at this in December. A resolve to change based on our own effort. We need to remember the Baptist words here. The Baptist didn't ask us to shed a tear. He didn't ask us to have a pleasantry. He didn't ask for excuses either. Instead, he asks us to kind of remember our baptism. And what's really special about that baptism is that baptism is more than just sprinkling of water upon a person with God's word. God's promise is attached to that baptism, and your old self is crucified with Christ. And so Luther asks us to daily remember our baptism. And the reason why we need to remember our baptism is not because the cross of Jesus Christ doesn't have any more effect anymore, but we need to remember why we were baptized. And each and every day, we need to struggle with the old self, our old sinful nature, so that we could have the new life with Christ. If there seems to be no struggle, do we truly want to value the baptism? Daily we need to repent and remember our baptism, because baptism notes what God did for us and is still doing for us. Unfortunately, when we start thinking about words of repentance, and sometimes even baptism, we often understand this as, well, I can do this. You know, if we've done some wrong and some sin and we're held to account on that, we usually try to say, well, I can make amends. Well, yeah, we can make amends, but can we undo the event? Words spoken out of anger, can they ever be taken back? Can I recall somebody's memory and just erase it from them? The answer is no. Unfortunately, repentance is often understood as, oh, I can do that experience. I'm sorry for my sins. I can do better. I can please you, God. We often interpret repentance as our way of turning to God. But the exact opposite is true. Christianity is not about an individual turning to God, but it is about God turning to us. In repenting, we therefore ask God, who has turned toward us, has buried us in baptism, put down and crucified our old Adam, and has raised us to new life. We ask God to continue to put us to death, so to speak, to continue to put down that old self within us. Repentance is a I can't experience, because that old Adam still surfaces within us. Our sinful nature still rises. We still get angry. We still sin by thought, word, and deed. By baptism, we're not done. By baptism, God does. To repent, so to speak, you could say, is to volunteer for death. That's hard for us. Do we really want to put down our old self, our own sinful nature? Well, we struggle with that. So the repentant person comes before God and says, okay, God, I can't do this myself. God, you need to kill my old Adam. You need to give me new life. You need to bury me in my baptism. Bury me again today. Raise me to a new life, as you did on that first day I was baptized. Repentance is a daily exercise that renews our baptism. And it's not just with baptism only. During my catechesis, the pastor taught me, whenever I come to prepare to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, I was to ask myself three questions. Number one, am I sorry for my sin? Number two, do I realize that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins? And the third, which is crucial, am I willing, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to amend my sinful life? It is that third question that ties in with today's text. Notice that us as sinners, we come before God and we say, okay, God, I can't do it. I have fallen short of your glory. Help me. We don't come before God and says, hey, look what I've done. just the opposite. We come before God and saying, God, I need your help. I need your mercy. All this comes from an understanding of the fruit of repentance. It's ongoing action. It's ongoing relationship. The Pharisees and Sadducees didn't want to realize that they were sinners, or that they continued to sin, or that their own flesh and blood was sin. As a result, John the Baptist did call them a brood of vipers. Not necessarily a warm greeting, but a wake-up call, including with the words, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Why would they want to flee from wrath if they thought that God was okay with them and their actions? They had no need for a Savior, no need for repentance, no need for a baptism to crucify their old flesh. They thought they had that under control. So John does the pastoral thing. In a very loving way, he brings this to their attention in a way that they would understand. But we also need to understand this fruit of repentance. The byproduct of being in Christ is recognizing our need for a Savior, Jesus Christ. Realizing that we are sinful by our nature, sinful in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, and to confess that sin with the help of the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it ourselves. We can't change our lives. Soon we'll be singing a beautiful psalm as part of the offertory. Pay close attention to those words and how we ask the Spirit to create a new life within us and to be there for us, because we can't do this Christianity thing. All of this may seem a little overwhelming, and if it does, then the answer is good. The sermon made its point. It should. We need to realize that we cannot do this by ourselves. That's why we come. We come to receive God's mercy and his strength. Christianity is not some sort of self-help type of religion, but one in which God says you can't do it. So it is God who takes on human flesh and blood. It is God who comes among us. It is God who suffers and dies to restore the broken relationships that sin created between us and God. So as Christians, hearing God's word through St. John the Baptist, we are being drawn to Christ by his forgiveness. Being drawn to where forgiveness is truly freely given through God's precious word and sacraments, where he brings the fruit of grapes and wheat to bring us the fruit of his body and blood, there to remind us that daily, every moment, we need his life, we need his forgiveness, we need his love. So we come this morning, during the season of Advent, to continue our preparation, that preparation focusing on the fruit of repentance, basically our need for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our need for his love and his forgiveness, not just 2,000 years ago, but every day of our lives. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.